There we go. Last week we spoke about the key to spiritual growth. It's interesting, that was a recorded message from last week. Do you remember what the key to spiritual growth is? How you hear. The whole parable of the sower was a parable about the way you listen. Are you intentional? Are you paying attention? We can summarize it in this way. The quality of your hearing will produce the quantity of your understanding. The quality of your hearing will produce the quantity of your understanding. Jesus explained it this way. Whoever has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. That person is listening, he's taking it in, and he's increasing in understanding. But whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him. And it's all a matter of, be very careful then how you hear. Okay? And that relates to today's message because we want to talk about spiritual transformation. The process of becoming like Christ. Less of me, more of Him. This is the goal of a Christian. Literally being saved from who we are. Changed, transformed. Hearing is a dynamic part of this transformation process because what happens is we literally become reprogrammed by the Word of God. The Word of God, as it interacts with our mind and understanding, reprograms us from the inside. And that's what we need. So, this message is going to be on how hearing the Word saves us from our own ways. We each have our own way of doing things. You know, Frank Sinatra sang that famous song, I did it my way. Well, okay. And some of us take the attitude, it's my way or the highway. But that's the problem. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life. So how do we get into His ways from our ways? You remember what Isaiah said? All we like sheep have gone astray. An African American preacher said one time, none of us intend to leave the shepherd. We're just nibbling. And we're looking down and we are not paying attention to where we are going. But all we like sheep have gone astray. And each of us has turned to our own way. Alright? Which is bad because our own way is, I'm gonna say this, the wrong way. If it's not in agreement with the way our Lord Jesus came to show us, our way is the wrong way. You remember that verse in Proverbs? There is a way that seems right to a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. That's what that relates to what Jesus said. Even that person, what he seems to have, if you think your way is right and it's really wrong, how are you going to be able to correct yourself? How do you know? How do you know? So for this transformation to take place, for us to go from who we are and to be corrected, to receive guidance and help from the Lord, well, there's a transformation that needs to take place. And let's look at how it needs to take place. There's a verse in Proverbs, let's take a look at. Because you know what the Lord will do, and people don't understand this form of judgment. There is a very fair and natural response of God. God does not like being a dictator. If you insist on going your own way, guess what He'll do? He'll go ahead. Have it your way. This is what Proverbs says. Solomon was writing with as if wisdom was personified. And here is wisdom speaking to the men she is trying to interact with. In Proverbs 1, verses 29 through 31. Because they hated knowledge, and they did not choose to fear the Lord, they would have none of my counsel. They despised my every rebuke. And the word despise there just means they disregarded. They just didn't esteem it. They despised my every rebuke. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own ways. You see how fair that is? Okay, you don't want to listen. God is trying to counsel you. God is trying to bring correction. And you don't want it. So he says, okay, do it your way. You reap the consequences of your own choices. You don't want my guidance? You go where you think you should, but the result will be on you. It'll be on you. You'll be filled with the fruit of your own ways. This is what wisdom says. And, notice, and be filled to the full with their own stubbornness. Now, I'm using the word stubbornness there because I think it's a good English word. The actual word is their own ungodliness. Because the actual word in the Septuagint, the Greek version of the Old Testament, is the word asebomai. And the word asebomai is the Greek word that literally means refusal to fall back. I've said this before, I just want you to get a good understanding of it. When a king was walking or passing through a crowd of people, the way you showed him that you were no threat, that you acknowledged his authority, was you fell back. That was just, you were just saying that. And so this word for ungodly or stubbornness is when God speaks to us, and we're like, I don't care. Say what you want. Don't give me that. I don't want to hear it. It's that attitude. And so a person with that attitude is going to be filled with your own ideas. Okay. I mean, God's not going to force himself on a person. If you want to stand there and say, well, I think I ought to be able to do this. Well, I think this. Well, I think that. And if it's not according to what God has said, okay. I mean, it basically, the wisdom is saying, all right, you'll just have to suffer the consequences of your own choices then. That's what he's saying. But now here's the problem. Because, let me go back one. There you go. Sin has corrupted the way we think. Now, if we could think right, if we could think perfectly, it'd be fine that we could do, it would be fine that we could do what we think. That would work, right? But if the way we think has been corrupted, then the way we think needs to be fixed before we're safe. Sin is like a computer virus. Most of you are familiar, if you are under 75, with the computer. When my mom passed away about 4 years ago, my dad began to learn the computer. He found out that a mouse was more than just something that ran around on the floor that you set traps for. And he found out about left click and right click and things like that. But if you're like him and that's unfamiliar to you, then try to understand what we're talking about. But men can create a virus, a program that's intended to infect a computer. Now, it goes into the computer's operating system. It doesn't shut it down all the way. The computer still works, but it doesn't work the way it's supposed to. Its internal operating system is corrupted. And sin is like that. It works in the background. You may not be aware it's there. You don't know why in the world did I say that. Why did I do that? Why did I respond that way? Because sin is in the background. It has infected us. And if we don't discover it and if we don't deal with it, we're not going to be able to process things correctly. And that's why this virus is called malware. Now, how many of you know what mal means? In Spanish, what is malo? Malo. Bad. It just means this kind of program has a bad effect on the computer. And sin has a bad effect on the way we think. Right? It's a spiritual malware. So each of us has been infected by this spiritual malware called sin. And we must then be reprogrammed. We need to be reprogrammed. That means we need the malware dealt with and erased, purged from our inner system. And we need God to write His own program into our internal operating system. That's what we need. And it's interesting that this, the Lord mentions this. We'll talk about how this happens. But I'm going to ask you, who does the reprogramming? Who does the reprogramming? The Holy Spirit is the one who's doing the reprogramming. Because where we need to be reprogrammed is on the inside. We need God's Spirit to help fix the way we think, the way we see, the way we respond. So the Holy Spirit is the one who does the reprogramming. But how does He do it? What does He use to reprogram us with? Well, He reprograms us by writing God's Word on our heart and mind. The Holy Spirit knows the mind of God. The Holy Spirit knows the mind of Christ. So the Holy Spirit takes God's Word and He rewrites God's Word in our heart and mind so that we can begin to think in the right way. And literally, the Spirit washes our heart and mind to cleanse away the lies and the errors that we absorb or we were influenced by this spiritual malware. So the soap is God's Word. That's why in the book of Ephesians, Paul mentioned that Jesus was going to wash His church with the washing of the water of the Word. The Word washes our internal operating system, cleansing out the wrong ideas, the deception that we have been affected by, and begins this process of renewing. So we were corrupted by our wrong ways, and the Spirit, with the truth of God's Word, begins to cleanse us on the inside. So this corrupted data that sin caused begins to become deleted. It begins to be right. We begin to change the way we think as God's own understanding, His own Word begins to be written in our heart. We begin to be reprogrammed spiritually. That's how it works. In Hebrews chapter 10, there's actually a verse. This is a quotation from Jeremiah chapter 31 where God says He's going to make a new covenant. This is the verse. And it describes this reprogramming that God is going to do for us in the new covenant. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my spirit in there, and I will put my laws into their hearts and into their minds. I will write them. So a question. Since God is going to do the writing, how does the Holy Spirit do this? How does He write God's law? Because this is very important. And this is how, where last week's message and this week's message will come together. The way that the Holy Spirit rewrites God's laws upon our hearts and minds is by speaking. Consider this verse. So do you see the importance of hearing? Because only if you are hearing what the Spirit says, will God be able to begin to reprogram the way you think. This verse in John 16, when Jesus was speaking of the Holy Spirit. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. And notice guide, not drive. The Holy Spirit is not a cattleman that drives us like a herd. He guides us. He's a guide. If we ask for His direction, if we follow His leading, He will guide us into understanding the truth. He's not going to come and overwhelm us and obliterate us or our will. He leaves our will intact. And if we follow Him, He will guide us into all truth. And follow this. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take from what is Mine and declare it unto you. So you see how He does this? He speaks to you. Now, does that make us strange? If I claim that the Holy Spirit speaks to me, what do I mean by that? Well, what is He guiding us into? He's guiding us into an understanding of the truth. How does He do that? Well, you remember when Jesus was walking with His disciples on the road to Emmaus, it was right after His resurrection. Two of His disciples had heard the report that He had been risen from the dead, but they didn't really believe it yet. They were discouraged. They were shocked by the news. And so they were walking along kind of downcast, and Jesus came up along beside them, and they didn't even recognize Him at the time. And as He began to ask them to kind of conceal His identity, "Hey, why are you so sad?" They explained, "Well, haven't you heard? Are you just now in Jerusalem? Didn't you hear about what they did to Jesus of Christ of Nazareth? We had hoped that he was the Messiah of God, and they crucified Him. And we have heard just recently that someone has said that they've seen Him raised from the dead. We don't know what to think of these things." And it says from there, Jesus began to speak to them. And do you remember what he said He did? He opened to them the Scriptures. So how does the Holy Spirit speak to us? He opens our understanding and enables us to understand the truth. How many of us would admit, I try to read the Bible and I just don't get it. I don't understand it. I mean, Pastor, you can tell me that I should be reading my Bible all day long, but when I try to read it, if I don't get anything out of it, I'm not going to keep doing it. Because I can understand Channel 5, or I can understand Channel 12. Well, okay. This is why we need the Holy Spirit. We need to learn how to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. In the book of Revelations, there were 7 churches in Asia Minor. In each of them, the Lord had some things to talk with them about. And you can read about them in the book of Revelation chapters 2 and 3. 7 churches. And there's one thing that Jesus said at the end of every communication that He made with these churches. Do you know what He said to every church? Who can tell me what He said to every single church? That's right, Brother Rudy said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches." That's how critical it is. You know, I'd like to help people. I'd like to help them spiritually. But I'm in a physical body, and I am limited to being here at one time. I have a daughter in Canada. She knows I am not there. I can say I'm with you in spirit, but she knows where her dad is. I'm here. But with the Holy Spirit, every one of us can have Jesus with us everywhere we go every day. So if I, as a pastor, help you learn how to hear the Holy Spirit, I've done you a whole lot more good than convincing you to come here to hear me once or twice a week. This is why we need the Holy Spirit. You need Him as a mom. You need Him as a father. You need His wisdom to how to deal with your children. You need His wisdom to know how to deal with your spouse. You need His wisdom and His guidance to know how to deal with your coworkers, with your neighbor. And if we learn to hear His voice and He begins to guide us, you know what? It'll save us from stinking thinking. It will. We get ourselves in trouble. It's like having your own personal attorney. It's picture yourself at your work and some guy, that guy or your boss, is just making you furious. And you want to sound off on him. Well, maybe he deserves it. But what would your attorney say? You see, we can have this kind of counsel. And as we hear what the Holy Spirit tells us, the laws of God, His ways begin to be written on our heart and mind. And as the Word begins to be written on our hearts and minds, slowly we begin to experience a transformation in the way we think. Okay? So the question for us is, who are we listening to? Those who are led by the Spirit, the Bible says those are God's sons. Isn't that interesting? We would like to say God's sons are the members of our church. Well, if you're on this church roll, of course you're God's sons. Well, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says a lot of people are going to claim that they knew Jesus that were in church many years. And He's going to tell them, I never knew you. It wasn't real. And we all know people who go to church and don't seem to be any different. Well, the Bible's honest about that. God's sons are those who allow God's Spirit to lead them. That makes sense. They're the ones hearing what the Spirit says. They're the ones being reprogrammed. Okay? So the question is, who are we listening to? Because who we listen to influences how we think. Okay? It influences how we think. This is why we must be reprogrammed, all right? And as we are reprogrammed, we begin to be transformed, all right? So do you see this last statement? Repairing the way we think begins to redirect the way we act. Doesn't it make sense? You start to think differently. You start to speak differently. You know, the Bible says, he who guards his lips guards his life. How many of us have open mouth and insert foot? I know a lot of people with a serious case of hoof and mouth disease. Because they walk in places that stink and they end up contaminating themselves. But if we had help, if we began to think differently, we would think like the Bible says. You know how much the Bible has to say about being careful with our mouth? How many of us wish we could go back to some instance and not say that thing we said? You see the advantage of being programmed? You see the advantage of having God's Word renewing the way? For more help to just not have reacted sometimes. We need it. And this is something that we can experience. It's not too late for any of us. This reprogramming God wants to do. This verse in Romans 12:2. Consider this. This is why Paul wrote this. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So you see how the transformation takes place? We are transformed by the renewing of our minds. And then we're able to prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How much would I give to end my life to have been able to make more of the decisions that I have made with a clear understanding of what the perfect will of God was? Because I think sometimes God's perfect will would have been for me to just say nothing, to hold my tongue, or to give a soft answer to turn away wrath, or how a kind word would just have been so much more appropriate than something hard. And this transformation is available for us. But what we have to have occurring on the inside is we have to be having our minds being renewed by God's Word. So when the Spirit transforms our mind, we will begin to process information differently than we have before. And then, soon, a new mind becomes a new man. You see it? Because you are what you think. You will do what you think is right. That's the most natural thing. Of course you're going to do what you think is right. How many of us today woke up and said, I am not going to do what I think? That's like, you sound like you're saying, I'm going to breathe today. No, you just are thinking. And you're going to do the best you can. But if you realize there is a better way to think, there is help for the way we think. And as you begin to be made new in the way you think, you begin to experience what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Now, unless you're a whole lot different than me, you'd be very glad that old things pass away. Because you know what I am about a lot of old things in my life? You know what I am? I am ashamed of some of my old things. I can tell you, you can ask my dad, I was not born in an incubator and let out for Sunday school. That just wasn't me. I know what it's like to smoke and snort and drop and all kinds of those things and do what a lot of the world, I know that I've been there, I've done that. I did what I thought was good at the time. I even tried to convince my dad it was okay. I mean, didn't the Bible say that God made every herb-bearing, plant-bearing seed and he said it was good? He never believed me. But I tried. But you know what happened? Is exactly like that proverb we read earlier. My dad couldn't stop me. He gave me a choice. You're going to have to do what you're going to have to do. I was filled with the fruit of my own ways. I chose a path. And when I got to the end, you know what I found? A sign there. You know what it said? Dead end. I'm grateful that they put those signs at the beginning, aren't you? You know, God puts those signs at the beginning of a lot of our paths, and you know what we do? Write down. Or he'll say, no outlet. Write down. And what do? You can go down the road, but what are you going to end up doing? You're going to have to turn around and come back. You know, God is good in letting us do that, isn't he? He's letting us turn around and come back. I'm so grateful for that. So, anyway, as I began to realize that my main problem was me, I was the main problem, I realized something. I had been raised in this church all my life. This church. But you know what I did for most of that life? It went in one ear and out the other. That's the way it was for me. I don't know if your experience is like mine, but when I began to see the results of my own choices. I began to realize I'm the one that's making my own life miserable. It's my choices. It's my actions. It's what I'm doing. Then you know what I began to look for? I began to look for genuine help. I wanted to know Jesus Christ. Because if Jesus Christ could make me a new person, I'm all in. And I experienced a genuine relationship with Jesus Christ. And I became a listener. I started listening. And I started learning. And I started being transformed. Little by little. Not overnight. It didn't just happen overnight. I wasn't suddenly Mr. Perfect. But I was very different. A different direction. A different attitude. A different set of values. It was like I became a child and I had a lot to learn. Spiritual things to learn. Oh, I knew plenty of the world stuff. I was plenty adult and savvy enough to know about the world. But about real spiritual things, I just started over. I became this, I was transformed. I have a picture of that. This transformation that takes place. You've seen this, haven't you, before? Seen that? There's a process in this that happens. You can see what's happening here. What this chrysalis is forming. It's interesting what that they call it that. This happens to be, do y'all recognize what type of caterpillar this is? It's a monarch. That's right. Someone knows their biology. And what's he doing? Yeah, what's he doing, public? That's right. He's transforming himself. But look how he does it. This is what happens in our own life. When we stop crawling around, just eating the stuff in the low life, okay? And we begin to wrap ourselves with the Word of God. We begin to bind ourselves by this. Okay, I won't just say whatever I think. I won't just do whatever I'm going to do. I won't just go wherever I want to go. I will live my life within the confines of what God's Word says. That kind of is confining, isn't it? I mean, isn't that what a lot of people think of when they think of Christianity? Well, you can't do this and you can't do that and you can't do that. That's what it seems like maybe at first to some people. But when a person begins to wrap themselves with God's Word, it's sudden. Why do we do this? Why suddenly does this caterpillar stop what he's doing and do this? It's internal, isn't it? He's being drawn to this by this design that God has worked in him. And it really is, I've come to see this. No matter how much I preach, no matter how loud I speak, no matter who I point my finger at, it doesn't make a difference. But I can tell when the Spirit of God on the inside of someone has just suddenly woken them up. And they can hardly explain it themselves. Why suddenly they decide they're going to listen. Suddenly they're going to take Christianity seriously. Suddenly they're all in. They are paying attention. And when that happens, something dynamic is going on the inside. And that old person begins to be covered up. The old person begins to be covered up by the Word of God. And it begins, that old person can't just move around. Can't just talk like you used to. You can't just do what you used to. You can't just keep going like you used to be going. You just can't. And then what happens? Boom. Out of this process, we become this new man. This beautiful new person. No longer bound by our old ways. We no longer do the same things. You know why we no longer do the same things? Because we're no longer the same person. We have a different nature. You know, here's what the Apostle Paul said. Here's the transformation that he talked about. He said this. The things that I once thought gain. Remember how he finished that? I now count loss. As a matter of fact, he said, and I even consider them to be rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. And he says, I count all things now lost compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. I was an in-school suspension teacher for 10 years at the local high school there in Fredericktown, Missouri. And so I had plenty of guys that would, you know, wanted to talk. You know, that's probably why they were in school suspension in the first place, because they couldn't keep their mouth quiet. So they got in there with me, and it's a very quiet environment. And I don't let any talking. But I would make an exception if they asked me questions about me. Mr. Martin, did you ever, can you imagine what they would want to ask? Mr. Martin, did you ever smoke pot? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did. And, you know, their eyes were wide open, you know, like they're all interested. And I said, yeah, I did, but I don't anymore. And you know what? I would tell them, but you know what? I could. I live out in the country, and I've got the perfect place behind my house. I could grow all the weed I wanted. And I don't. You don't? Why not? Because I don't want to. I can afford dope if I wanted it. I could drink as much as I wanted. I could watch all the pornography I wanted. But I don't want to. I don't do it. And this is what would catch them. I said, if you think, and I said, I'll tell you, young man, the reason I don't do that anymore is I have done it and I have found something better. The reason I don't do it is not because I think it's wrong and I can't do it and I really want to, but God won't let me. No. My entire way of thinking is different. And now I see it for what it really is. It's a trap. Satan is baiting us with certain things. You know, if I want to catch, and matter of fact, I need to, so y'all remind me, we have some rats in our room downstairs. And they're too fast for me. That's all right. I know what they like to eat. And I can use their own desire to trap them. Look, don't let Satan treat us that way. Don't let him lead us about by our own desires because we haven't learned. That's what he wants to do. As we grow in understanding, we see things that once entrapped us as they really are. And we begin to choose the things that are better for us, better for our children, better for our spouse, better for our friends. And you know what we find out? We begin to experience life as God intended, an abundant life of joy and an abundant life of peace, a good life. A life where you're just content. The days are good. Even when it's difficult, it's good. Okay? I'd like us to experience this kind of transformation. I really would. I'm going to ask Armando to come and to just play quietly a song of invitation. And I don't really want you to stand or sing. I would rather, let's take a few minutes and think. And if the Spirit of God is working with you, because believe me, when you can feel the Spirit of God tugging at your heart, that's mercy. That's like someone throwing you a lifeline saying, I can get you out of the predicament you've been in for a long time. When the Spirit of God is drawing you to take it seriously and to really begin to listen and allow the Word of God to begin this process of transforming us. Well, we just need to start receiving it. So what I'm going to do is this you? I'm gonna ask you to stay seated today during the invitation. Pray. But if you would like to pray and you feel drawn to come to the front and sit at the pew and you want to have a few other believers who've already been through this process to help pray with you, you can do that. God in His mercy sometimes is kind of like a doctor. He sets before us the condition of our life. He lets us see the x-rays. He lets us see the spiritual report, the MRI. And if we'll cooperate with Him, if we won't say no to the Holy Spirit, His Word will do what He intended it to do. It will begin to change the way we think. And we'll begin to change. That's what salvation is. That's what it means to be born again. Well, God forgives the past. He starts the process of making us entirely new. The beautiful thing. It is a beautiful thing. While some are praying, let's some of us sing, okay? Just as I am without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God.